Well, Evelyn Waugh's Brideshead Revisited is one of my favorite books, and it's working at so many different levels. But it also contains, I think, a very intriguing program for evangelization that has particular relevance to our time. I'll start with the Brideshead itself, which refers to this lovely manor house in the English countryside, owned by this fabulously wealthy family. But in the complex semiotics of Waugh's novel, Brideshead stands for the church. So Paul refers to the church as the bride of Christ, and Christ as the head of his body, the church. And I think when you bring that together, you see Brideshead as evocative of the Catholic Church. Well, to Brideshead comes the narrator of the novel, Charles Ryder, who's a student at Oxford. He's an aesthete. He's an artistic type and a sort of casual agnostic. He comes to Brideshead, though, at the invitation of his friend, Sebastian. And he is completely intrigued. He's overwhelmed by the sheer beauty of the place. So he has an artist's eye. He takes in the delicacy of this Bernini-like fountain. He takes in all the painting and the sculpture and the artistic program. And at the center of it is a chapel that is a riot of Baroque decoration. Now, the presence of the Eucharist in the chapel meant nothing to Charles when he came in. He was an agnostic. But he loved the beauty of the place. Well, it draws him now throughout his life back again and again to commune with this extraordinary place. Now, in the course of those visits to see his friend Sebastian and to take in this beautiful house, he meets the members of Sebastian's family, these sort of strange and intriguing figures. He meets Sebastian's mother, Lady Marchmain, who was a very devout Catholic, very morally serious person. And from her, he picks up for the first time the moral demand of Catholicism, especially as it pertains to Sebastian's drinking. So Sebastian is going down this kind of black hole of an alcoholic addiction. But Charles is taking in from Lady Marchmain and from the others as well the sense of the moral demand of Catholicism. And though he opposes it for much of the novel, by the end he comes to see its validity and even to become a believer. He sees Catholicism as a coherent philosophical system. And at the very end of the novel, he kneels down to worship in that chapel, which previously he had simply entered as an aesthete. Okay, anyone who's read the book knows I'm just barely, vaguely summarizing this extremely rich story. But simply to make this point, I think the best way to evangelize, and Evelyn Waugh caught it, is to move from the beautiful, then to the good, then to the true. And to get that backwards is often to evangelize very ineffectively. Now, I think here's why, and Waugh sensed it at the beginning of the middle of the 20th century when he wrote that novel. Especially in our culture, very relativistic, with a great stress on individual freedom and liberty to make up your own mind. If you begin with the true, here's what you should believe. Here's the truth of things. Hackles go up almost automatically. Who are you to tell me what's true? It's true for you, not true for me. You know, I got my own right to decide what's true. Or maybe even worse, you begin with the good. What you're doing is wrong. Here's what you should be doing. No one likes to hear that. No one ever likes to be told that he or she is doing something wrong. So beginning with the good, moralizing, tends also to raise the hackles, the defenses go up. However, I think Waugh got this in Brideshead. You begin with the beautiful. There's something non-threatening. There's something more winsome about beginning with the beautiful. If you say to someone, look, just look at the Parthenon. Just look up at the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Just look at the Mona Lisa. I'm not telling you what to do, what to think, how to behave. Just look at that. Just look at Chartres Cathedral. Just read The Wasteland, or just read The Divine Comedy. It's hard to resist the power of the beautiful to draw you in and to change you. Another example for more sports-minded people, just look at the swing of Rory McIlroy. Just look at a jump shot by Michael Jordan. I mean, if you like sports, you notice how beautiful these moves are. The beautiful is nonviolent. It's alluring. It's winsome. Now, here's the thing, and again, law got this. Once you're in the building, see, you're in Brideshead, you're intrigued by the artistic program, then it begins to work on you. And here's how. You now say, I want to conform my life to the beauty that I've seen. I want to live in such a way that's congruent with the beauty that I've taken in. That's how we move from the beautiful to the good. I want to participate in it. See? And that means a change of your life. But now it's not so much someone from the outside telling you what to do. It's the beautiful working on you and changing you from the inside. Now, once you've played the game, once you have changed because of the beautiful, now what? You begin to understand the world that made that beautiful and made that goodness possible. Now you understand from the inside the dynamics of the truth of the thing. There's Charles, right? Charles comes into Brideshead, entranced by the beauty. It took him a long time, but he eventually came to see the importance of the moral teaching of the church. And then finally, he got the truth of it. I think that's a good way to evangelize today. Begin with the beautiful. So begin with Chartres. Begin with Saint-Chapelle. Begin with the life of St. Francis of Assisi. Begin with the Mother Teresa sisters in Calcutta. Begin with Merton's Seven-Story Mountain. Don't moralize. Don't intellectualize. Let people see. Show them. Look at this. And the beautiful, I think, will work a kind of alchemy. Hans-Jürgen von Balthasar, one of the great theologians of the 20th century, took this very seriously. The aesthetic starting point. He said, the beautiful seizes you, it changes you, and then it calls you and sends you. So, you see a beautiful movie, and it affects you, it's changed you. You want to participate in that world, and you want to tell people about it. You become an evangelist of the beautiful. I think today, especially in our postmodern culture, that's so relativistic, that's so suspicious of claims to the good and the true, it's wise for the church, and the Catholic Church, our genius is that we've embraced the beautiful. We haven't destroyed the icons. We haven't knocked down the buildings. We've kept the beauty. Start with that. Start with that. Draw people into it. And I think you'll find in time the good and the true kind of take care of themselves.